Hello, hello. Welcome back to How to Learn a Language. I'm Lindsay of Lindsay Does Languages, and I am your host for this show, which is the podcast all about how to learn a language. It's very much in the name, very much self-explanatory. And as usual, before we get into today's episode, which as you will have seen already from the title, likely if you've clicked through, we're going to be talking about why is self-compassion so hard? Oh, okay, we're going to cover some serious ground here. But before we get into today's episode, two things actually. The first thing is, and I'll mention this at the end as well, but next Thursday, if you're listening to this in time, on Thursday the 18th of May 2023, I will be teaching a free live webinar all about this topic of self-compassion and how it relates to language learning and why it really is your greatest language learning strength. We're going to be talking all about that Thursday the 18th of May, 2 p.m. UK time. If you can't join live, no problem. There will be a replay available, but only if you've signed up to reserve your spot. And you can do that, lindsaydoeslanguages.com/LL. If you're listening after that date, then no problem at all. That link will still take you to a very useful page where you can learn more about how we can develop more self-compassion for your language learning and do so together. And the second thing, as I like to recommend another podcast for you at the start of this show, kind of, I think last episode I said about the podcast list that I'd made and how there was like 800, sort of similar this time, like very much what I've been listening to a lot this week in terms of podcast has just been 99% pure Eurovision. So yeah, there's that. So yeah, just there's the Eurovision cast from the BBC. There's the official Eurovision podcast. There's like a whole ton of like fan podcasts. It's just a really exciting time and I get so into it every year. I'm really, really looking forward to the grand final. And yeah, and we'll see who wins. Cha-cha-cha. Fingers crossed. All right, let's get into today's episode then. So first of all, why is self-compassion so hard? And there are a few reasons. We're going to cover kind of like 9, I think, in this episode. We're going to start off just, I want to give you a bit of an introduction. I feel like I've been talking about self-compassion for a long time, but in reality, I think a lot of that work has been me like writing stuff behind the scenes, making the slides for the webinar next week, all of this stuff. And so I've kind of lost track of how much I've said out loud. And so if you are like, self-compassion, what, I don't understand, let's go for a quick 101 first of all. So essentially, compassion is that kindness that we treat other people with, right? Self-compassion then is treating others with that same kindness, right? Sorry, treating others? What am I talking about? Treating yourself with that same kindness, okay? So treating yourself as you would treat a friend. For example, your friend says, oh, I've just had the worst week at work, I've lost my job, and everything has gone terrible, ugh, right? If that's a friend, you go, oh my God, don't worry, you are still amazing, you're gonna get the best job, this is an opportunity, this isn't a failure, blah, blah, blah. You like really big them up and support them, right? When that stuff happens to ourselves, we are often our own worst enemy. So we'll be like, oh man, I lost my job? That's because I suck. That's because nobody wants to work with me. That's because I'm the weakest link in that whole office. You know, all of that stuff that we wouldn't say to our friend in that situation, but we say to ourselves. And self-compassion is stepping aside from that sort of self-critical approach and not squashing down the negative stuff, but acknowledging it all. Acknowledging the positive and the negative and accepting how you feel, accepting your thoughts and feelings, but recognizing that that isn't you, that doesn't define you as a whole person, right? This sounds amazing, right? But it can be difficult. It can be really, really difficult. If this was easy, we'd all be just so nice to ourselves. The world would be such a better place as a result of that. But there are some obstacles. There are some things that just make this that little bit harder. And, you know, when it comes to language learning, this can show up across the board in so many ways. So I'm thinking, for example, about how the easy, obvious example would be like a streak on an app, you know, where you have the streak for like a week, then 10 days, then 2 weeks, then a month. And then you think, oh yeah, I'm good at this. I'm really good at this. But then you miss a day and all of a sudden, oh my God, who am I? I'm like the worst language learner in the world. And we just really can spiral from something as simple as that, right? You've probably felt this. And that's just one example. If we were maybe having that first early sort of conversations with people in a new language and we mess up, we forget a word, we pronounce something incorrectly, all of that stuff. And rather than walking away and thinking, hell yeah, I just had my first conversation in Japanese, look at me go, we're thinking, oh, what an idiot. They're going to think I'm so stupid. I can't believe I messed up like that. I don't know any words. How could I possibly have told them I'm learning Japanese when that is what comes out of my mouth? You know, I guarantee that you know, because we've all been there and we don't necessarily talk about it all that much because it feels like kind of there's a lot of shame attached to this. So to help us steer away from that sort of direction, it's self-compassion that we want to develop, that element of treating ourselves in the same way that we would treat others. And that's a very simplistic description. We go into a lot more detail in the free life class next week. So sign up, lindsaydoeslanguages.com/LL, and you'll learn much more about kind of what it is and what it consists of and how we can develop that. But today I want to just cover some of the reasons why it might be difficult to develop that, some things to be aware of so that you can still move forward knowing like, okay, I know why this is difficult for me. And these won't be the same for everyone, but there will likely be some crossover. It's probably not just one of these reasons of, you know, why self-compassion is so hard that comes up for you. There's probably a bit of a combination. So have a little listen, see what you think, see what sounds like you, and we'll see. We'll see how we go. So first of all, the first reason that self-compassion is so hard is that self-compassion is a skill. Self-compassion isn't something we are just born with at perfect levels. It's a skill that can take time to develop. And the fact that it's a skill can mean sometimes we ignore it because there are other skills we prioritize or want to develop first. And it ends up feeling like extra work. So in the case of languages, this might mean we think we want to or need to develop our speaking confidence or understanding a new writing system before we think about something like self-compassion. Oh, whatever, that can wait, right? So it gets left behind. But honestly, if we take that approach, it's kind of like riding a bike without a helmet. So yeah, of course, you can do it. Absolutely, go ahead, have fun. But if something goes wrong, that aftermath could be, you know, not pretty. So including self-compassion in your skills to develop list when it comes to language learning really does make for better progress all round. And after all, when you ride a bike with a helmet, two things happen. Firstly, you're more confident in the first place. So you do better, you go further, and you generally have more fun. And secondly, if things do go wrong, then you've got measures in place to help protect you from those potentially crushing blows. So although it's a skill and we think that's going to take time, I don't have that time, there's other skills I need to be developing and getting better at first, it is something that is worth including in amongst the mix of what we do as language learners. Second, self-compassion is counterintuitive. So, as well as self-compassion being hard because it's a skill to develop, it's tricky too because it's counterintuitive. We show compassion to others, like we've said, often that's the way we've been brought up, right? We treat others as you would expect to be treated, right? But when it comes to ourselves, we often extend this much harsher approach, you know, like do the thing, do the thing, do the thing. Oh, you failed? Get right back up and start again. There's no time to waste. So to attempt to switch from what's become our default to a more self-compassionate approach can be really difficult. But what if, instead of after you fail at something, you allow yourself the grace and the space to sit with it for a moment, to evaluate what went wrong without critical judgment, to give yourself time to better prepare for next time? And this takes some intentional practice. However, I assure you, it is well worth the effort. It's like anything, right? That those first times that you apply this new thing, that you try to do this new thing, there's more involved. There's more time, there's more effort, there's more thinking about it. But gradually, it just becomes something slicker. It fits in more, and it doesn't take as much intentional practice to happen. It begins to just happen. So it's definitely worth that effort. And kind of following on from that point, thirdly, our culture doesn't encourage self-compassion. Right. Big one. And when I say our culture, I mean kind of that global, overriding global culture, especially like with things like work and just attitudes and approaches to success and doing stuff, right? That's what I'm talking about. I understand that different cultures connected to different languages and different places have different emphasis on these sorts of things. But I do think that overall, that kind of global culture that kind of just penetrates everything, everywhere a little bit, generally doesn't encourage self-compassion. I'd actually argue that it values self-criticism, which is quite the opposite, which can make it difficult to go against, because when you are attempting to be more self-compassionate, you're going against the grain. You're really going against what you've been told and led to believe is going to get you to success. Because in modern life, either you are pushing yourself to breaking point, or you're doing nothing and you're being too lazy. Where's the middle ground? How did we get here to this place of hustle and grind, or don't bother trying, with nothing in between? And then when someone does demonstrate self-compassion, they're labeled as selfish, soft, or delusional. And we'll talk more about this a little bit later on. But, you know, things like, how could they be so kind to themselves, so soft to themselves when they failed so miserably? Or how could they be proud of that when someone else did it much better? Do they truly believe that was good? They must be delusional. And I mentioned at the beginning how I'm recording this in Eurovision week. And as I was writing this, I was really thinking about Eurovision, about how there's those semi-finals and some songs go home, and the way that people can be so critical of people up there, you know, giving it their all, really doing their best. Oh, do they think that was good? They must be delusional. Like, whew, what a way to talk about people, right? This needs to end. And the truth is this: a failure is only a failure if you don't learn anything from it. And besides, without failure, we don't have a measure for success either. We need to know what failure is to know what success is. We need to know what really, 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 really spicy food tastes like to know when food is within our spice threshold. You know what I mean? Like, we need to know one to identify the other. We need to fail. It is a glorious essential to being human. It is the thing that teaches us the most about ourselves, about others, and about life. And if you haven't already, I highly, highly recommend the book and the podcast, How to Fail by Elizabeth Day. So, so insightful and really leading towards change on this false narrative. Next up, and like I said, we're going to come back on some of those words that we just touched upon. Self-compassion doesn't mean becoming a doormat. So equally then, you might be hesitant to show yourself more self-compassion because you think it'll make you a doormat, because you think people will walk all over your new soft self. Nope. No. In fact, I'd argue the opposite is true. When we develop more self-compassion, we develop a stronger sense of self. This means we're more likely to know what we want and be prepared to attend to our own needs. You know those people with that kind of palpable sense of calm confidence when they walk into a room? They don't get treated like a doormat. And I bet they treat themselves with self-compassion too. Side note here, by the way, I highly, highly recommend digging into the pre-Tragic Kingdom discography of No Doubt. They are my favorite band. They have a song on their first album called Doormat, unsurprisingly, about this topic. Anyway, moving on. Next, self-compassion doesn't mean you're selfish. So that person with the palpable calm confidence as they walk in the room, sometimes you see that and you think, ugh, asshole, or ugh, worse word than asshole, right? But that's not true. They're not necessarily just because you think, oh, they appear to have more confidence than me. They must be kinder to themselves. Therefore, they're selfish. They're not selfish either. The idea of being selfish has warped a lot and has changed in a lot of cultures around the world to encompass any time that you do anything that is in your best interests. And that's not really quite what selfish is. So, you know, you buy yourself a bath bomb as a treat because you've had an awful week at work. Selfish. You should have given that money to the busker outside. You say no to attending your best friend's wedding abroad because of the cost. Selfish. You shouldn't worry about the cost. This is your best friend. You sign up for a language retreat in Italy because you haven't traveled in years. Oh, so selfish. You could have gone to your best friend's wedding then, right? All of those things, treating yourself to a bath bomb, saying no to an event that's not going to work for you, investing in your language learning, all could be viewed as selfish acts, or they could be viewed as self-compassionate acts. After all, who knows what's best for you? More than anyone in this world, who knows? You do. And nobody is going to look out for you as much as you can. So you need to take on that role. That is not selfish. The stronger your sense of self-compassion, the more supportive and present you can be for others too, because you're taking care of yourself first and foremost. It's like, what do they say about filling a cup? You can't fill other people's cups unless your cup is full, that kind of thing. It's that, right? Self-compassion relies on distinguishing feelings from actions. Oh, and that can be so tricky. Self-compassion then is about recognizing all thoughts and feelings as valid and allowing them. This isn't an attempt to quash negative thoughts and feelings away and never be sad or angry ever again. There is no positive vibes only decor on my wall. Thank you very much. I want the negative ones too. Bring me the negative vibes as well as the positive vibes. It's all part of life. In fact, I should say as well, another side note, for someone who loves languages and words so much, I really do hate word-based home decor. I don't like it. Anyway, why do I want the negative vibes too? Because I want to feel it all. Learning to distinguish between your thoughts and feelings and your actions helps you avoid falling into the trap. And that's the trap with capital letters. You know the trap. The one where you start with one negative thought or feeling and it gathers dust and grime quicker than you can say susuwatari. Before you know it, you are lost in a spiral of negative self-talk, which is kind of the opposite of self-compassion, not what we're going for. And why do we end up here? Because it's the easy option. In fact, it's so easy we often don't have a choice. Self-compassion, on the other hand, takes effort to develop and acknowledge and activate in situations like these. But the good news is, it's effort that is within your reach. Self-compassion also requires vulnerability. Our world often respects the person who stayed late at the office rather than the one who respected their own boundaries and left on time. And those valued qualities typically require closing off from your thoughts and feelings and focusing on other things more. That could be work, studies, languages, anything, whatever it is. We've been taught that this is strength, to carry on when things are difficult, to show up no matter what, to keep calm and carry on, right? But the truth is, the greatest strength is actually the opposite of this, to go against the grain and to be vulnerable. That is your greatest language strength. And to recognize our thoughts and feelings and not judge ourselves critically for them. That requires great vulnerability, which in itself demonstrates great strength. I'm not talking necessarily about you having to share this with the world. Just to share and be honest with yourself, sometimes that takes the most vulnerability because we don't want to. We want to tell ourselves that everything is fine, positive vibes only on the wall, you know, like it's all good, it's all good, it's all good. And so we don't let ourselves be vulnerable with ourselves. And I understand why it can be so terrifying, which is why we avoid it. But it is an essential factor in developing more self-compassion. So the big takeaway here, vulnerability is not weakness. This reason now is a really, really interesting one, something that makes self-compassion difficult for a lot of people, and that is that self-compassion may challenge your identity. This topic of identity, so interesting to me. The idea that we get so wrapped up with labels and identities that we restrict ourselves from certain things just fascinates me. Now, I'll give you an example. You know how at school everyone has an identity, right? Think Mean Girls cafeteria map. Cool, we're on the same page. Well, basically, life is a big high school. We all have our identities, and even if we think we're just not like everyone else, man. Oh, okay then. So you're a hippie, liberal, eco-vegan because you're not like everyone else, man. Got it, right? See? It's inescapable. This means that developing more self-compassion can be hard for some of us when it challenges our identities. And this is especially true if part of your identity is having this strong sense of self-criticism and seeing that as being crucial to your success. That can be quite challenging to let go of that. And finally, self-compassion is difficult because it requires unlearning old habits. Sometimes this can be the trickiest one of all the reasons that make self-compassion so hard. It's kind of why we have the expression, you can't teach an old dog new tricks, right? What if that's just an expression? What if actually we don't live our lives by the magnets, by the keyring slogans, and we instead learn how to unlearn in that process, regardless of how long we've held on to our habits? Sometimes something that's good for us isn't good for us forever, but it can be difficult to let go because we're still telling ourselves that it's good for us. And I'll give you an example. There was a time when I had to wake up at 5 a.m. I had to. It was necessary. And it was years ago, right? This was like pre sort of that being a thing. And gradually, like, you know, after needing to do that, then it became a thing, right? Like morning routines are good and people start talking about that and you can get stuff done before the day has really begun. And there's literally a book called like the 5 a.m. Club or something, right? So it's like, oh, okay, this is a thing and I'm already doing this thing and that's good for me, so I'll keep doing it. So I kept waking up at 5 a.m. It felt good. I was achieving stuff. I was getting my language learning in nice and early. But over the past year, especially as I've wrapped up my distance learning studies for my applied linguistics MA, I didn't need to get up at 5 a.m. anymore. But does now getting up at 6 a.m. mean I'm less productive now that I'm no longer this accidental member of the better than you 5 a.m. club? Absolutely not. I feel more satisfied with life and with my language learning. But that doesn't mean that it took some, or that it didn't take some unlearning to switch the old habit, as well as a really healthy dose of self-compassion to do that. So as you can see from everything we've covered in this episode, self-compassion is a really important skill to develop to become a better language learner and genuinely a better human, I believe. And much like other skills that language learning has taught me. Self-compassion is one of those great across-the-board skills, right, that impacts everything positively. Developing more self-compassion in relation to my language learning has helped me be kinder to myself in relation to food, exercise, hobbies, relationships. The list is endless. It's a real all-rounder. So that is why I am teaching this free webinar next week. If you want to become a better language learner, become a better human. Because I do believe as well that the more we learn languages, the better people we are, the better citizens of the planet. Then you should definitely join me next Thursday for the free live webinar I'm teaching all about self-compassion in relation to language learning. It's called Why Self-Compassion is Your Greatest Language Learning Strength. It's happening at 2 p.m. on Thursday, the 18th of May. You can sign up right now. The link is in the description. It's also lindsaydoeslanguages.com/LL. If you're listening after the date, still head over to that link and you'll learn the best way that we can talk and work together on all of this stuff. So I'm really looking forward to it and sharing everything with you. I'll also be sharing how we can work together in the recently updated with very new exciting ways to join and with a new prelude module lesson all about self-compassion in language life. I'm going to be sharing all of those details with you in the free webinar next week as well. So do come along to learn more about that and about how we can work together and how you can get some bonuses, including lots of extra support, including one-on-one time with me. And yeah, it's going to be fun. lindsaydoeslanguages.com/LL to sign up and reserve your spot now. I'm looking forward to it. I will see you next week. Have a wonderful rest of your day. And yeah, until then, happy language learning. Bye.